I love you, Pete.
Oh, what a play by Misiak!
And my heart is here.
Save it for Misiak. Misiak, wraparound attempt, right to the front of the goal. It's behind him. Scores! It's in the net.
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schaan Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Pisani Company Distributing, Edward Jones Financial Advisor John Nelson in Houghton, the Turbo Agency in Hancock, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store in Calumet, and Peterlin Distributing of Calumet. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schaan, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
All right, thank you very much, Josh. And yes, the Joe Schaan Hour here at the Mix 93 Studios this week. Want to thank again Turbo Agency last week for hosting us, and we'll have hopefully some other remote hosts throughout the season here. But that was a lot of fun, and we're back in the studio here today, just almost literally walking off the bus from Robert Morris here. The bus just came in about an hour ago, a little bit over an hour ago at the STC. Coach, nice to have you, and we're ready to go for another week, aren't we?
That's great to be here, Dirk.
Congratulations on a big weekend. The Huskies with a sweep at Robert Morris University. We didn't know much about either team going in. You know, you see our practices, but you always want to see how things go once the game starts. And a tough win on Saturday night, and then things went in real easy for us on Sunday. What were your thoughts overall, Coach?
I thought we played we played pretty well. Our looks were good. We obviously had some some breakdowns, some areas that we need to improve on, but those were those are our fixes that we can do, and several of them are personnel issues, and overall looking over the scoring chances on the games, I thought we generated scoring chances in ways that we'd want to. We want to get a little bit better in transition through the neutral zone for sure, both ways, offensively and defensively. But we did generate offense off the forecheck. We generated a lot of offense off of OZP, offensive zone play. The power play movement was good. We spent a lot of time in zone on that. Penalty kill was good. Defensive structure was obviously pretty good. Not giving up much. We didn't give up a ton of scoring chances on Saturday night. 11, I think, in total. So we did a much better job in that area. But again, And of those, some of those were just plays that Robert Morris made, and that's always good when you do scoring chances against, and you're not there's not a number associated with the chance against it. It's just a play that was made. So it was all in all, special teams were good. Offensively, we generated offense, and defensively, we limited. So a good spot to grow from.
Two guys that obviously stood out from a good team performance on both night would be Matt Jerusik, only letting in one goal all weekend long. Gets the shutout yesterday afternoon, and then of course Alec Bretzman, who was just outstanding. He ended up with three goals yesterday. He had the game winner in overtime shorthanded on Friday. He tacked on a few more assists on the weekend, and you kind of alluded to this guy being a very special player throughout his freshman year, and we could see certainly things about that, but I think some of those things that are really kind of kicking him and separating him from a lot of other players in college hockey, you're starting to see that a little bit more right now.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about Juju first. Jerusik was extremely good. He was on. He's done a good job in providing us leadership on and off the ice, really since last year. He's got a good feel for the pulse of the team. He's a great chemistry guy, and obviously he's a leader in his work ethic and his performance. So, that's great to have that element in goal. He was very good, especially early on Friday night, and with some saves in the third period. I'm sorry, on Saturday night that gave us the chance to get the win there. It was a tough hockey game. And then on Sunday, he was just solid the entire game. He was on it. So he was great. With regards to Bretzman, he's just a special kid. What I liked about him in junior hockey, the thing that stood out and the thing that I would talk to people about was his intelligence on the ice. He was on a team that didn't do a lot. Yet what they did do, he did most of it. He was he's always on the right side of the puck. He doesn't cheat in any area on the ice. He took a pretty good shot to the ribs on a hit from behind on Saturday night, early, I believe, in the first period, and stayed in the game and ended up getting the game winner for us, and then comes out with a five-point night on Saturday night. So that whole line was great. Alex Smith was tremendous.
He
was
really
best
was.
Hockey. And if you go back to the series, playoff series against Bowling Green last year, he was tremendous in that series. He was outstanding in his playmaking ability and things. His leadership has been great. And then Sretzky on that line, I believe, had a four-point night as well, a goal and three assists on Sunday. So that's a good start for a freshman. Again, his intelligence. You put him out there with two other guys that have a high IQ regarding the game, and you know they hold ice well. They have good leverage as far as being able to force plays into areas that they want the play to be. And you know that's a great line. I thought Bliss was outstanding on the weekend. He did a great job, as did a lot of people. But our top six forwards, I think, for the most part, were very good. And then we still have to get some, you know, a little bit more production out of two of our lines. And, you know, we'll get some more bodies in there this weekend and take some look at, get some looks at some players and see what we can do.
Played four freshmen on the weekend, three of them on Saturday and four of them on Sunday. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Here's some of the highlights, though, from Saturday night's game, the first game of the season for the Huskies. It was a 1-0 lead for the Huskies, then a 1-1 tie. Both goals, one from either team, were not your traditional goals. They were goals where the puck was right around the crease and eventually batted in.
Caught up now by Smith, over for Donahue. Donahue across the line on the left side. He'll get the shot right to the goal. Rebound is there for Smith, and it's going to go in. Yes! A goal! And I think Smith's going to get credit for it. The Huskies score first. It's a power play goal with 17:02 left to go in the first period. 1-0. Michigan Tech. And no icing here. Watson's going to have to hustle down now as Nick Lalonde, going in hard, takes the puck away from Watson. And Watson will go to the front of the net now. Back up top. Here's the shot. Save, rebound is there. And he's trying to find it. No whistle yet. And they score. They tie the game up. Wojciarusik is arguing. He had the puck. Picked up now by Lawson again, trying to make a play behind the Michigan Tech goal. To the left wing corner, to the front, a shot back, saved by Jerusik. Oh, he robbed him on the far side. Fired in, Jerusik will hand it off quickly to Sawyer. Sawyer brings it up the boards, turned over, right to the front of the goal. Loose puck there, oh, what a save by Jerusik. He flashed the pad over to the right side and absolutely robbed the Colonials of a tying goal. Big defenseman Robert brings it in. Well played there by Donahue, but he waited too long to move the puck. Robert got back. He steals it away. Here's a chance. A shot and a big save made there by Jerusik. Oh, another giant giveaway by the Huskies. Dumped in. Light clears it to the line and brought up by Bretzman. 2-on-1 for the Huskies. Bretzman across. Shot. Score!
Just a great play by Bretzman, and I think Leip was the one who sent that up to him. He was very solid, I thought, in his first game and first weekend as a Husky.
Yeah, he was. I don't think it was Leip, but it might have been on that goal. Well, yeah, we're going to have to get an assist on that. It was a forward, I believe, that made the play on it. It might have been Bliss, but regardless of that, it was a big goal, and we came out plus one on the net on the penalty kill on the weekend, which is a great thing. That's kind of our reference I was making. The Robert Morris, some of the scoring opportunities that they had on the power play, especially on Sunday, they were just within the system of things that they're going to have by throwing numbers down around the net and having those types of chances created with no fault or breakdowns in the coverage. But what that also does on the other side, when they're being that aggressive to try to create offense, is it makes them vulnerable to things happening defensively. And we actually had two great scoring chances on Saturday night. Reitmeier had a tremendous feed from Bliss on the earlier in the game, and Capelmaster made a tremendous save on him in the second period. And then obviously we got the one in the overtime there where Botts was able to get free and a power move, and he made a great move, inside out move, at the blue line area with just power. And he's a type of power forward that when he gets body position on you, it's his legs against your arms reaching and trying to stop him. And it's very difficult to do. He's a big, powerful kid. And it gave him a chance to get a good shot on goal, and he found a spot through the five hole.
Shots in that first game, it was Michigan Tech with a 2-1 overtime victory, 35-31. RMU over Michigan Tech, very close in the shot category. The Huskies, as you mentioned, Coach, phenomenal on the penalty kill. Colonial is 0-for-5 with 9 power play shots, and your best penalty kill has got to be your goaltender, and Jerusik certainly was that. Huskies 1-for-5 on the power play. They had 9 power play shots on goal, and Jerusik with 34 saves. Kapelmaster was outstanding as well. He had 29 saves, and a real good goaltender's duel there, but Matt Jerusik comes out on top with that win, and that was a big win for the Huskies. Giving up that lead in the third period, you and I talked before the third period, said these are the games that we have to find a way to win, and he certainly did.
Yeah, and the goal that was scored, as you alluded to, it was a scramble type play. Coop got beat to the puck late in the shift, so he didn't have the legs on the sprint back to the puck in our zone, and that gave Robert Morris possession. They were able to get something to the point, a low to high play, and get the puck at the net. And really, Juju had it covered for quite some time. Mm-hmm. It was underneath him, and that's why he was, why he was raising question as to it, and why the referees decided to take a look at it. And it was quite a while underneath him, and then they kind of just pushed him and pushed everybody in the net. So, you can fight those guys, keep them away from your goaltender. Those types of goals are going to happen. That was the only goal they got on the weekend, and really that didn't beat Jerusik. So, all in all, outstanding performance in that regards from our defenders. Long way to go for sure. Yeah. We got a lot to do in a lot of different areas, but it was better Sunday than it was Saturday, and we'll look to be better coming Friday night against Alaska.
We'll take a look at yesterday's win over the Robert Morris Colonials in just a moment. You're tuned to the Joe Schon Hour. It's exclusively here on Mix 93 WKMJ, and get your questions in. A few of you already have. If you got a question for Coach, we'll ask it for you. Email it to us now, dj@themix93.com. The Joe Schon Hour continues after these.
Since 1942, Pisani Company has been distributing your favorite adult beverages here in the Western Upper Peninsula. They're a local family business stationed in Atlantic Mine and part of the fabric that makes our Copper Country community great. Pisani brings you Coors and Coors Light, KBC, Bell's, the ever-popular White Claw, and now, truly, the official seltzer of the NHL. Nearly 80 years of history and making history every day. Pisani Company, Atlantic Mine.
Honest conversations mean sharing what you need to hear, not just what you want to hear. At times, investing can seem difficult and emotional. Throughout it all, your Edward Jones Financial Advisor is your advocate for the long term with your best interests in mind. That's why we take the time to listen and understand what's important to you. Honest Conversations. It's another way Edward Jones makes sense of investing. Contact me, John Nelson, your local financial advisor, at 482-8680. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Are you frustrated with the rising cost of insurance or concerned you might not have the right coverage? Hi, I'm Marcia Franti of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. Whatever your situation, single, raising a family, or happily retired, we can help you put together an insurance package that both fits your budget and provides the insurance protection you need and deserve. As an independent agency that represents many insurance companies, we offer more choices, more options, more security, and more peace of mind. Put the Turvo Agency to work for you at 482-0080.
Welcome back to the Joe Schon Hour here on Mix 93. Let's take a look at some of the highlights from the 7-0 win last night for Michigan Tech. It included a natural hat trick by Alec Bretzman in the first period of play.
Low for Smith. Smith looking over now for Saretsky. Saretsky in his second game as a Husky. In front of shot, scores! Bretzman again, a one-timer from the hash marks on a great feed by Smith. And the Huskies go up 2-0 with their second power play goal of the weekend. Bretzman with the shot, scores! Bretzman with the second goal of the game! Goaltender Cooper got 90% of that one, and it just slowly squirted through him. Bretzman with 2 goals here tonight. Gets his chance at the high slot. Shot taken there. That one was blocked. Huskies able to get it to the front. Here comes Smith. Smith looking for it at the side of the goal. Still open. Smith with it, looking at Bretschman. Bretschman with a shot. Scores! Oh, they were looking for Bretschman in front, and he pounded it home for his third goal of the period. Alec Bretschman, a hat trick for the Huskies. 4-0 Michigan Tech.
I just love that last goal, Coach, because you can see Smitty just sitting there looking at him. When should I do it? And he waited and waited, and finally, heck, here it is, and he banged it home. It was really cool.
Yeah, Smitty's got a lot of poise with that puck. He made a lot of delayed plays that created up openings, and you know, his line mates are getting open for him in those plays. And it was good. Botch was hitting the puck well. He was finding holes with it. Sometimes they go in for you, and it was great to see.
So you look at that game overall, Coach. You get the big lead in the first period of play. Things I know almost have to break down a little bit as far as your attention to detail and maybe discipline. But I was so impressed with that third period. I know you were too. Yeah. Just how structured it was and how there wasn't any cheating going on or anything.
Yeah, I think the first half of the second period, I thought that we were just okay. Cheating maybe not the word, playing for points maybe, but what I kind of liken it to is just maturity, you know, maturity versus immaturity. Immaturity, when you have an opportunity to stray a little bit in anything, you know what I mean? You're gonna, your decisions, your things are gonna maybe not be as well as you'd like them to be, as parents would like kids to be, as teachers would like students to be, certainly as coaches would like players to be. Maturity, on the other hand, pulls together even more and says, okay, guys, they're gonna take chances now. They're gonna try to do things to get back in the game. That's where we're gonna hit them. That's where we're gonna make sure that our structure is really good and that, and offense will come off of that. We'll be able to turn it the other way. And that's the type of team that, those are the types of teams that have a chance. They win those one goal games. They don't give up those two goal leads. I told the guys after the second period in the locker room, I was around two championship teams, NCAA championship teams that won the championship that were down two goals in the championship game. They were down two goals. Came back and won it. And I was around one that lost a two goal lead going in the third period. So that's the maturity level and not getting too excited, not looking ahead and just bearing down and staying within a unified effort so that again, you can have a lot of fun and make it work for you.
2-for-4 on the power play yesterday, and 7-0 was the final. Huskies with 5 goals in the first, 1 in the second, and 1 in the third. Shots were actually very even again, 27 for Michigan Tech, 25 for RMU, and Jerusik had to make some big saves and got a little lucky. I mean, there were 3 crossbars that hit the lower part of the crossbar that did not go in behind Jerusik. Had those popped in, maybe a little different game could have resulted there. But, you know, when you're playing well like Jerusik is and the Huskies are, sometimes the breaks just tend to go your way. And I think maybe after a tough second half of the season last year, we've earned some of those breaks that we got yesterday.
Well, it was, we didn't give up a ton, and I think, what I'm happy with, but we still need to grow on, was zone time, I think, was shifted a bit in our favor in a lot of ways as far as possession, at least in what we want to see out of our group. The biggest areas I think we still have to improve on, and maybe the biggest area we have to improve on, our depth has to get better within the lineup for sure, but we still are looking for individuals to bring the type of player that they are in practice consistently into the type of player they are in a game, because we have players that are able to really show well and execute well in practice, but shy off during competition. And don't play the same type of game and lose focus a little bit and aren't as in tune with their surroundings as they're in practice. So that's part of the maturity process that we have to go through and continue to reinforce. And what it really is changing habits. It's changing habits. And that, you know, on the good side is we're seeing a change in that in with regards to practice, focus and practice, intellect. You know, I said before on our last show, you and I have talked about it several times, I think we're way ahead in our understanding of the game. Way ahead of where we were a year ago. We're ahead in my opinion, now we're farther ahead than we ever got to any point last year in our intellect, our total, you know, commitment level and intellect towards understanding the game and playing a concept that enforces that. It's very important, and I'm very happy that they got some rewards this weekend out of that. There was growth. Third period last night was probably, regardless of the five in the first, probably our best period. All in all, our transition was good. We didn't give up a lot we didn't give up a lot. We gave up three chances in the third it's good. I think we're farther ahead, in my opinion, than we were in a lot of areas. Our penalty kill, you can see what they're trying to do. And like I said, a couple of the chances that Rob Morris got, they had two or three on the power play yesterday, and two of them were no fault of anybody. It was just that they were taking chances and putting some bodies in areas that you can only cover so many people. But again, that opens them up on the backside. And, you learn how to, throw pucks in areas and create some foot races and maybe get some shorthand opportunities. So a lot of good things. Again, we have a ton of work to do. I think it's going to be, we started with addition. We're into, got through subtraction, into multiplication, and we're enhancing what we do within the game, and I think that can only pay good dividends for us.
You've got some healthy competition, especially for those third and fourth lines right now, Coach, as far as guys in and out. The only change you had last night was Noble was in on Saturday. Noble came out yesterday, and you put David Risen in, the late add to the roster, for his first dress as a Michigan Tech Husky. Can you talk a little bit about those guys and just that healthy competition that you're looking for between guys that are trying to get in lineup?
Yeah, that goes twofold, and that's where leadership really, especially in the locker room and in the social areas of the team, really come into play, because we're everybody's got to be pulling in the same direction, and everyone wants to play. And leadership, and when you're talking about leadership, and when not questioning, but when you're challenging leadership and things, like people have heard me do so often, that comes with group management. Everybody wants to be, we all want reinforcement. We all want to need some sort of positive reinforcement. And when you're not playing all the time, or your role isn't where you necessarily want it to be in any group setting, you're going to, through learned behavior, find ways to get that reward. What's really important for us is to make sure that our leadership keeps in line the disgruntledness and the things that can come into play with people not getting individually what they want. And that's what leadership is all about. It's getting people to do things for the good of the whole that necessarily may not be for the good of the individual, for the glory of the individual. That's the hard part of what you do. And that's why I always say things like your best people, your leaders have to be your best people. They have to, whether they're in the lineup, I talk about Ray Bryce, whether Ray Bryce is in the lineup or he's out of the lineup, he still drives the culture of our team in many, many ways. TJ Poglace, whether they're in the lineup or out of the lineup, they drive the culture of our team. That has to maintain. You're in a bad way if they're out of the lineup one night and then they go south. Just as an example, and those two individuals wouldn't do that. But that's the part that needs to come in play in growth. When a team is going, they're getting some rewards, they're getting some kickbacks. It's easy to when is it my turn? What about me? That's part of the maturity and maturity process of development too, and going from being, dependent like a baby, dependent on a parent, to being wanting to be independent as a teenager, and I know I can run the world myself, to growing as an adult to being interdependent and functioning within a group and working on your piece in that group and enhancing the group with whatever way you can contribute. So that's what we really have to spend a lot of time working on. We started that in the spring with our leaders and have in a lot of talks and meetings and group settings to try to make sure our culture is in place. And I think with our culture in place, with the group we have, with the character we have, I think that we, you know, I'm not sure where we'll go with it. I think we have a chance of being a pretty good team.
But Coach, when you're talking about the third and fourth lines there, you mentioned that obviously there's a responsibility defensively, but that you're looking to get more offense on there. What is that fine line? Is that a fine line for those guys who maybe don't have the offensive prowess of an Alex Smith or a Parker Saretsky and an Alec Bretzman, but you still want to get offense out of them, but is their first job to make sure that, you know, that they're so solid defensively?
Well, that's a great question, and I think that the easiest answer is we want everything out of everyone.
Yeah.
You know, we want all things being equal, we want guys that all of our players to defend responsibly and take care of their business and contribute offensively, ideally, so that you have balanced lines. And that's what you want to have. You know, if you go back to my first year here, we have so many things I talk about on that championship culture we had. We had six lines and 11 forwards my first year here. That's a lot of guys sitting out. That's a fifth and sixth line. That's six forwards not playing every single night. That's five defensemen not playing every night. You're dressing a half a squad in practice and keeping them positive, keeping them growing. But what we were able to do out of that group is to make sure that they knew, hey, listen, we're out here, we're pushing you for a reason. You know, Billy McColt and I would be out there just, you know, pushing them. Hey, listen, we want you, we're not going to let you fall behind whether you want to or not. We want you to be able to perform when you get in the lineup and push to take a job. And many of those guys did. When I first got here, Malcolm Gould in and out of the lineup. Not happy about it. Tyler Hanenan in and out of the lineup. Max Vallis, look what he ended up being. We've talked about his story before. So many guys. Jimmy Davis goes in his first game, gets an assist, ends up playing our first playoff game against Huntsville at home when he didn't play the entire year. Guys got in and they performed. And that was a good thing because we kept them growing. So what you want is them to perform. One thing that, a slight difference between Mel and I, is that Mel was very used to coming out of the Michigan culture and having the talent that they had, that everybody was expected to, and had the ability to defend, and you weren't playing if you didn't make plays. And so often we would fight for players to be in the lineup and get a chance to play because of their work ethic and what they did defensively and how accountable they were. But Mel would tell us, and rightfully in his game, and rightfully so, he can't make a play. He can't make a play. If you didn't have the opportunity to make a play and contribute offensively as well, you're expected to play good defense. And if you couldn't contribute offensively, you know, good luck. Thanks for coming. We've gone with a little bit because we've had to. I would be the exact same way if all of our guys had, if our base was at that level of that team. That team was a special group. And it's, you know, it's from that point on, obviously it's gone a little bit the other way, but going the other way in talent, that team didn't win a championship. Mm-hmm. That's the only team that we didn't win a tournament championship. We didn't win the GLI. We didn't win anything. And then the next year, the first championship we won, and that's what I know is something I would talk about all the time is finding a way to win. Was that, if you remember, at the at Arizona, we went there and we won that tournament in a shootout or whatever it was, or an overtime, beat UConn or whoever, I think, or somebody like that in the championship game. And then from that point on, then we won, shared a league championship. Then the next year, playoff championship. Then the next year, playoff championship. And we were learning how to win. And that's what we want to make sure we get back to. So, having all that talent doesn't always guarantee, you know, championships and wins. Culture is such a huge component of that too. And finding a way to be able to close those things out. That first year, We had a two-goal lead, I believe, in the third period against Mankato at the XL Center, and they came back and beat us, and won the championship, the league playoff title from us. So we weren't over the hump, and then we found a way to get over the hump, and that's what we're trying to accomplish.
All right. Well, hey, folks, I see that many of you are sending in your questions. Keep doing it. We're going to get to some of those questions after the break. It's DJ at the mix 93.com. Get them in quick so we can make sure that we ask that question for you. Michigan Tech Hockey is hosting Alaska this weekend at 7:07 on Friday night and 6:07 on Saturday night. All Saturday night home games for the Huskies will be at 6:07, of course, except for the Winter Carnival game, which will be at 5:07, as it usually is for that matinee game. But just keep that in mind. We don't want people to forget that the Saturday night games are an hour earlier this year at the John McGinnis Student Ice Arena. We'll be right back with more of the Joe Schaan Hour right after these.
Huskies fans, be the winner of Domino's Pizza and a Puck Date Night. Go to the Domino's of Houghton Facebook page, share the Pizza and a Puck post, and get a chance to win two tickets and a pizza to Saturday, October 12th hockey game at 6:07 when the Huskies take on the University of Alaska Nanooks. Winners can pick up their tickets at the Central Ticket Office inside the SDC. It's Pizza and a Puck Date Night, sponsored by Domino's Pizza.
Red 18!
This season, you can share a Coke with your team on it. So I'm going to tell you how with a little help from this quarterback.
Selling 44!
You can share a Coke when your team's up.
Red Poncho!
You can share a Coke when your team's down.
Happy Dolly!
You can share a Coke with a coach, a mascot, or an MVP.
Chili, chili, chili!
You can even share a Coke with your rival on game day.
Turbo!
Or you can share a Coke when you're giving out your famous guacamole recipe in a completely packed stadium.
Cilantro, chopped onion, squeeze a lime, Roma tomato, hike!
Share a Coke with a fan this season.
Ice cold, delicious!
Share a Coke is back for the fall football season. We all know what comes with being a fan of the ups, the downs, and everything in between. Whether you've just won a big game and want to celebrate with fellow fans, or want to share a Coke with your best friend whose team just lost against their arch rival, Coca-Cola has something for you. Share a Coke with a teammate, rival, or a friend this season.
I'm head coach Steve Olsen, and this is Huskies football.
Gets the snap. He's going to look to throw. Looking to Jansen. Goes up top. Touchdown, Huskies! Jordan Jansen goes over the top of the defender.
The bye week is over. Rivalry week is now. Michigan Tech football takes on Northern Michigan for the Miners Cup Saturday afternoon at Curley Stadium. Kickoff at 1 o'clock. Coverage starts at 11:30, only on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ.
This is Max Maloney, defensive end for the Michigan Tech football team. Listen to all of our games right here on Mix 93.
Welcome back to the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. 28 minutes down before the top of the hour. And before we get to some of our questions for head coach Joe Schaan, it is official now, even though we kind of knew about it. And I know it's not on the schedule yet, but Cal Larson just making sending the release out that Tech is hosting the 55th annual Great Lakes Invitational, and it will be on the 30th and 31st in Detroit at Little Caesars Arena. And due to the time constraints that they're going to be working around, of course, you got the Detroit Red Wings playing on New Year's Eve. Three of the four games will be decided in a shootout after a five-minute five-on-five overtime, if that is needed in the game. So just keep that in mind. The GLI third-place game will not have a shootout and can end in a tie. So just some news out of the out of Detroit and out of Michigan Tech this morning. And I know a lot of people still wondering why that is not on the schedule. It will be soon. It's just one of those things that is out of Michigan Tech athletic control. But that's cool. 30th and 31st, and then right over to Arizona, right, Coach?
Yeah, it'll be fun.
It'll be a lot of fun. All right, let's get to a couple of your questions here. I didn't even get a chance to prep Coach on this, but here's your first question here today. All right. This was sent in earlier this week. Many moons ago, in fact, I should get the music up for this one. Many moons ago, the Michigan Tech Athletic Department hired the lead singer from the 80s band Survivor to do a promotional song. You probably haven't heard it, Coach, even though I still use the music for some of the promos. Michigan Tech Wants to Make the Game was the name of the song. It was so epically poor, which it was, that it's almost good in a guilty pleasure way. Might you endorse the hiring of Dirk and CJ Ike to write a new promo for the Husky hockey program?
That's only if Tom's involved. Dirk and Tom. If Tom's involved, then yeah,
there you
have
go.
At her. Have at her.
Here's the next question for Coach. Coach Joe, if a potential player you are recruiting is extremely penalty prone, is that enough of a reason to not bring him in despite his talent?
No.
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 Or is that something that you feel can be corrected as they?
What we want to do is we want to make sure we're bringing in good kids. You know, if he's competing hard, you don't. You know, there's a lot of people that want to make sure they have a certain amount of penalty minutes on the other side of it to show their compete level. So, right. It doesn't come into play.
Next question for Coach. Is Robert Morris coming to Houghton anytime soon?
Yeah, they'll be here not next year because our schedule's full next year. They'll be coming here the year after. That's what we're trying to do. I believe Michigan's the only game in our schedule that we aren't getting return dates. Clarkson's coming here this year. We went there last year, and I believe we're going there next year again. So, that's a big deal. We want to get people in here. To see, we want our people here to see other teams play. We want some home games as well. We've really been trying to work with Northern Michigan to get some really quality teams in on a Friday Saturday split. Like as an example, going out to BU and playing BU and BC as an example, and then trying to get them to come back here. I mean, having that agreement where they would come here and then play, do the same thing Friday Saturday split. We're doing that next year with Notre Dame. Notre Dame's coming here and playing us, I believe, on Friday night. And then on Saturday night, the development program's coming in here. The national team is coming in here and playing us. And then they're doing the same thing with Northern. They're playing the national teams at Northern on Friday or Notre Dame's flip-flop. And they're gonna flip-flop. So my brain's still not.
And I think that's a great thing because.
Well, in a lot of ways.
And you mentioned, you brought up something to me, I think, on the trip here, that playing a team once can really make a big difference in your pairwise.
It's huge. Clarkson's living off of that. Clarkson's done a great job of that formula where they're playing a lot of these flips and it's easy for them to do with, St. Lawrence being a sister city to them, to be like Chassel here. And, so they can do those flip flops and we'd like to do that. We're trying to do that. I'm trying to get Northern to get in on that same deal. And so instead of us playing Clarkson two nights, we play Clarkson St. Lawrence because then you get a lot of different common opponents and every type of win helps you. Every time a team that you played beats somebody, it works in a big way for you. And Clarkson's done a great job with that and it's helped them big time build themselves up a great pairwise.
I got a question for you. Do you have any idea, yet when Robert Morris, what time of the season it would be coming up? Would it be early in the season?
I do believe it's in the contract. I don't, off the top of my head, I don't recall.
Okay. Because they were wondering if they're going to come up for the big snow era, during our season or what it's going to be in the fall.
If it's not set, if they want to come up, then we'll bring them up for at any time, yeah.
Yeah. Next question for Coach. Congrats on the season opening sweep, Coach. It's great to have you and your boys back. Logan Pietola seemed to fit in well with Bliss and Hallinan. Is that a line that will stay together for a while?
We'll take a look at it. I watched the video, watched scoring chances. I liked it. He's a smart player. He can play with anybody, and and he's a good player. That's a sign of a good player is when they make others better. When players that are reliant on a certain player, you have to always look at the players that when you move them around, what you get out of who they're playing with. And Logan has the capability of making people better. So, we'll probably try him with a lot of people. I would have to think that his role, as he matures and continues to grow and get stronger will only increase.
Did you notice him? I did as a fan. It seemed like he was good Saturday, but even much better on Sunday.
Yeah, and then the first shift we put him with Bliss and Hallinan, and he made a great play on the goal to Hallinan. And so, he's a good player. We have a lot of good players. We have a lot of good freshmen. We have a lot of good players that aren't in the lineup that we need to get in the lineup to give them a chance to show what they can do. So, our depth is better. And there's competition, pressure. There's a lot, but everybody's contributing right now in a positive way in every facet of what we do. And I'm really enjoying every minute I'm around these guys. I'm enjoying, going to the rink every day. I'm enjoying sitting one-on-one with somebody and doing video. I'm enjoying the team meetings we're having. I'm enjoying the team meals. Every part of what we're doing right now, I am thoroughly enjoying with the group. I can see the smiles on their face. It's a very enjoyable group to be around. Hardworking, great leadership. There's a lot of things in place that our job now is to keep it going and to make sure that we keep the focus on play. You know what I mean? And keep the focus off of individuals.
Follow-up question on this, Coach. Can we expect to see new faces in the lineup this weekend?
Yeah, I'm looking. Yeah, we're looking to. We got to, you know, we have to find chemistry and find depth and continue growth. And you know, you can't entitle anything. Everybody's got to perform and work to perform and work to get better, including coaches. You know, I said on Friday I wasn't
broadcasters.
I wasn't as good as I needed to be on Friday night. On Saturday night, I felt a little bit better. And, you know, everything, you get the feel, you're not, you know, last, when you get into the playoffs, you're in tune with everything. You got a feel for what's going to happen. It's all a growth for all of us, for everybody.
Next question, Coach. Were you happy with the play of Rockwell over the weekend?
I was. I thought he played well. He had limited ice in the first period. He got off to a little bit of a rough start Friday. The thing with Rocky that he gives us is, he can play with anybody, and he can play on the right side as well as he can play on the left side. So right hand, left hand doesn't matter with him. So he gives us that opportunity to, first of all, he's steady. He does the little things well. He makes good plays with the puck. He's not a big turnover guy. So you're always going to get you always know the performance you're going to get out of him, and he has the ability to make a play. So I was very happy. I was happy with our defensive core. I was really happy with Watson and Leip. I thought those guys played above and beyond, what I hoped for. You know, you go in hoping that, I really hope Coop gets out of the gate well, because he's had such a great, he had such a great spring and summer, he had such a great fall, and you want him to come in and get out of the gate well and have a good start, and he did. He was great for us.
So, just to follow up with Cooper Watson, I mean, what is it about him that was making him an in the lineup, out of the lineup kind of defenseman, and now, even though it's really early, you're seeing things that maybe he could be more steady in the lineup?
Well, he's killing plays. He's playing as a size strength defenseman now and killing plays he's attacking, he's identifying ice situations. He's identifying leverage pushes where he can take away time and space. He's protecting lines well. He's staying on the D side and then getting pucks and making smart plays with them. He's not turning the puck over. He's staying out of the box. There's just a lot. He's reading the play. He's playing smart. He's controlling a lot of what's going on out there from the defensive side when he's on the ice. He's on his toes. There's just a ton that he's doing well. Where before, he was playing cautious, you know, but practicing well. And that's part of development, right? But he was practicing well, last year, but then he'd play cautious because he didn't want to make a mistake and now he's got a good feel for what needs to be done, and he's going after it. And that's very important for us, because as you can see, we brought in some guys just to do that. You know, we brought in some big bodies to end plays in the offensive zone or in our defensive zone to end them so that we could have the puck. We want the puck. In order to have the puck, you have to have guys that can go in and are willing to and are productive in winning one-on-one battles.
So, face-offs. Over the weekend, you knew going in that it could be a bit of a touchy subject as far as a learning process. What were your thoughts after two games of play?
Learning process.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, Smitty's our only true centerman there right now that's veteran. We've had Grayson in and out of that position for a variety of reasons. And he's just okay on face-offs. And then we have freshmen that are just, you know, that aren't... We have Misiak that we moved there that actually was as good as the other players that had played more center, and Justin hasn't played center since he was in maybe a little bit in juniors, but probably since he was in minor hockey. So we're still thin at that position in our depth. We're still looking to fill that position. But saying that, I thought that Logan Piedla, we took him off the wing and moved him to center, and he just looks a lot more comfortable there. Even though last year he played primarily wing, when I used to watch him in minor hockey playing in Comp or a national championship team, he was a centerman. And I think he's more natural at that position, but he still needs to to get his technique down and his strength and things to be able to win faceoffs consistently for us.
We were just talking about this somewhere on the trip. I don't know. It was a couple of us anyway. And when that is worked on in practice, we see it a lot with you guys on Thursdays after the drills are done, and then, of course, on Fridays, even after the skating is done. Is it done pretty much every practice after most of the drills are done, the centermen will go out there and work on their draws?
No, I don't. It's not done. I don't think it's something guys, for the most part, I think there's probably guys that are very proud in their game that will work on it more, and I think there's others that you have to, you know, have to tell them that you want faceoffs done. You know, I it's interesting. Yes, I was Adam Nightingale when he was here at the Red Wings. I was talking to Adam and I asked him what he's in charge of faceoffs, and I asked him, well, what do you do with your centerman? Because, you know, I was a goalie and Adam played for me for 3 years. So what are you doing, Adam? What are you doing? He says, Joe, it's, what can you do? You know, we do a lot of shadow stuff where they just drop a puck and it's just a speed thing. And he said they have guys do, you know, compete, you know, guys just line up, same things that we do. And then a big thing that they do is they watch centermen on the opposition and show their tendencies to them so that they can see the tendencies of their opposition. So they, you know, through video and things, and then they'll practice when they're doing their things. Okay. You're going against, you know, Jamie Benn, mm-hmm. You know, here's what he does primarily, so offset that. But I don't know.
So just to interrupt you, is because a lot of us from the outside, we look at the game and a lot of it looks just, you know, very, we just see what happens and we look at it very simply, simplistic. And then we hear you talk about, you know, how your coaching staff works on every little nitty gritty part of the game. Is it not the case with centermen where it's basically just desire and will, is dependent
and
on
skill and strength. And I mean, there's technique to it.
Absolutely.
There's technique to it. And it's worked on. Faceoffs are worked on, but some guys are much better at it. Hand-eye coordination. The coaching side of it in a lot of ways comes in helping on the faceoffs. Like when they're not won or lost clean.
The wingers coming in.
Yeah. And that's where a lot of the work that we do with them. Other than that, it's dropping pucks. And again, it's the same thing that Adam was talking about. It's okay. 10, one right after another and winning them, you know, just fast speed, being the first one to touch the puck, getting the inside position to touch the puck. And then it's competitions and the guy switching off and doing 3 out of 5s or 4 to 7s and things like that to see the win. And then studying technique on video on other players, NHL players, that what they do on left hand side D zone, right hand side D zone, a left hand shot on the left hand side, right? You know, all the different combinations. They're all different techniques and different, based on who you're at, what hand he is, where the puck's position. Do you want to let the opposition team win the draw, pushing it forward so that you attack? There's a lot, but if you get a player like Robert Morris, had a guy who's like 14-2 or something.
Aber was phenomenal. He was 12-3 on yesterday.
12-3. I mean, and he's winning draws clean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, it's hard to defend that.
Very interesting.
Now, Smitty last year was the number one faceoff man in the league for the majority of the year.
Yeah.
He was the number one in the league overall for the majority of the year, and I'm sure he'll be up in that. And, you know, he's a strong kid. He's got a low center of gravity. He's, you know, he gets his body in there. He likes to get his chin up under the opposition's, or his head up under the opposition's chin and get, you know, he does things that make the other guy uncomfortable. He'll trash talk him. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll do a lot of things to just, to do what he has to do to get the edge. I mean, this guy's a fun guy to coach. He's a fun guy. He's a throwback to my day of hockey Smitty's a fun guy to coach. He knows how to get an edge. He knows how to get an edge against me. You know what I mean? That's why he's better to be an ally than an enemy. So.
All right. Well, I just think that's very interesting about the faceoffs because, you know, it's not like there's a guy traveling around the United States as a face-off coach.
I've never seen a hockey.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just interesting that part of the game is is it's a little different, I guess, as far as technique and all that stuff.
I'm sure there's guys that are really good at it, but I bet you a lot of those guys would be centermen that were very good at it. But we have forwards in our, you know, on our coaching staff. They're both forwards, and you know that we work on it. We work on it, but we've been good at it. We've been good at it over time. So.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll get a couple more questions in here in just a moment, but we'll talk about the Blue Line Club luncheon that is coming up on Friday as well as we get set for this big home opening weekend against Alaska. It's the Joe Schon Hour continuing right after this on Mix 93.
It's Oktoberfest celebration time at Bucco's in Calumet. All six packs of bottled beer is on sale. All Coke and 7-Up 2 liters are 2 for $3. Pepsi 1 1/4 liters, 4 for $5. And Pepsi 12 packs only 2 for $10. Canada Dry flavor seltzer, 8 packs are only 2 for $5. Bucco's has all your deer feed, and they're totally stocked up with alpaca gear in the clothing aisle. All sales do not include tax and deposit at Bucco's in Calumet. Open 7 days a week.
The Michigan Tech Campus Store and University Images invites you to join Husky Deals. When you join us on Husky Deals, you'll receive exclusive information about our upcoming promotions, sales, and events. Send your preferred email address to campusstore@mtu.edu, and we'll add you promptly. Stop by today or visit us online at bookstore.mtu.edu. Husky Deals from the Campus Store and University Images. Don't miss out. Join today. Thank you for your patronage, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
It's almost Busch O'Clock, a time for relaxing and unwinding with a crisp, cold Busch beer. It's the most refreshing time of the day. Wait for it. 3, 2, 1. Busch. Crisp, cold Busch. Enjoy it responsibly. Busch beer. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Don't forget about the Blue Line Club luncheon that is coming up at noon on Friday, as both coaches will be speaking in anticipation of that big Alaska Michigan Tech series at the John McGinnis Student Ice Cream, 7:07 Friday night, 6:07 on Saturday night. Must email blueline@mtu.edu by Thursday noon to get signed up for that, and I think the cost is still $10. I don't have it right in front of me here. All right, let's get to a couple more questions that are sitting here for us, Coach. Next question is, Coach, can you explain the new transfer portal and what that is all about as far as kids transferring from school to school?
The transfer portal was a mechanism that was set up last year to enhance the experience, I think, for the transfer student is basically the best way to put it. Before, how the system worked is a school had to give an okay for another school to talk to a player that was interested in transferring. So let's say someone, we want to go after a kid, little Johnny, who says that he's been, you know, he wants to transfer. We would have to call the other school and ask, can we talk to little Johnny? And they would explain whether we could or we couldn't. They would deny it often in conference. And they didn't want that to happen. They wanted to protect the athlete. So they set up this thing last year called the transfer portal, which exploded transfers. There was a point in May when we looked at it. There was over 100 Division I ice hockey transfers in the portal. 100. Which, I mean, that's got to be like 10 times the amount they've ever had before. I think the understanding at that time was you could just go in the portal, because they said they wanted to make it easier for the students to be able to transfer, that you could just go in there and transfer. I think that was a thought, and it's not. But what it did do is it went, the process is a student goes in to their compliance, not through the coaches or anything, and say, I want to go in the transfer portal. The compliance student at that school, I don't know if there's conversation that goes on between them or not, but they put them on the portal, and then that student can now be talked to by anybody. So it's carte blanche, is that the word? Permission. And from that point on, I think the whole entire school, but I know certainly the coaches are completely out of it. They have no, the coaches where the player is transferring from have no input on anything. They're completely out of it. So, again, I think a lot of it was that, and I think you can see a lot more transfers going on. But I think that, and I do know that there was word going out that players were going to be able to just do an appeal and be able to transfer. And it doesn't, the NCAA still has rules to protect the integrity so that schools aren't just pilfering players off of other programs. Like we're so agent driven. We got calls last week on a couple of players. Hey, this individual, do you have an interest in him? Well, he's going to this school. Well, he is for now. Well, no, we're not going to talk about that. So it's all agent driven. And, so the NCAA has to protect against that. But once a player chooses to go on the portal and activate his transfer status, for the most part, the school that he's coming from is completely out of the process. The NCAA makes a determination if a school wants to appeal, whether they want to make that player eligible or not. But very little of it has to do with the school where the player is coming from.
All right, next question, Coach. Who is your favorite Youper hockey mascot of all time? And I'm guessing they're talking about the three Division I hockey schools.
Well, Blizzard. I love dogs. I have two of them.
Is it Seymour the Duck?
Seymour. They have another one. I'm not sure what okay. Lake State has now.
And Wildcat Willie, of course.
Wildcat Willie. Northern's fine, but I've never been partial to cats. They don't listen as well, but dogs kind of pay attention.
So, Coach, short week. I know you're giving the guys off this Monday, and so a little bit of short week to prepare for Alaska and a heck of a game against Denver.
Two games, yeah.
Yeah, two games, but I mean that one was
well, very good. Last night, I believe, was 2-0, wasn't it?
Yeah,
2-0 final. So they're both good hockey games, and Denver's second ranked right now in the country. So it's going to be a good test for us. You know that Alaska's going to be able to skate. They always do. Right now, we've got their stuff downloaded. We'll get back and get cracking that video on that. Before I came here, we just finished up our summary stuff from last weekend.
So, and like one of the questions alluded to, everybody is available, obviously, on the roster. So, you don't have to worry about who you're taking on the road, but you certainly have a good pool to pick from as far as anybody else coming into the lineup.
Yeah, last weekend, if we would have had a chance, we probably would have put a few more players in the lineup, and if it wasn't an away game. So we want to get a chance to look at a lot of players and see what we can do.
Coach, now that we're a year into this, having the extra skater available, what are your thoughts on it? I mean, after that one season now, do you feel more comfortable as far as your decision making and putting in whether you do a forward or a defenseman?
I think we might have done a forward once or twice, but we primarily do a D. I feel more comfortable with that. I might change that philosophy if we had Matt Roy and Shane Hanna and Cliff Watts and. I might change that because, you know, those guys are horses that can log a ton of minutes and you almost have to pull them off the ice. You know what I mean? They're just, you might feel comfortable only playing five or even only playing four.
Right, right.
If you have those guys because you want them on the ice as much as possible. But I think our defense is pretty balanced and has identity to it individually that you need each component of it. There's not a lot of overlap. Our skill guys are smaller guys. They're not like Matt Roy, who was a skill guy that was big and strong that could play both sides of it and first guy out in the penalty kill and first guy out in the power play. Same with Shane Hanna, who had the body of a Greek god, you know, those types of things. So, I think right now we like having the extra defenseman. It gives us if we lose one, we're still going with six because I'm not sure that our defensive core is the stamina that we've had in the past.
All right. Well, it's a big weekend, folks. The ArcelorMittal remote is going to be on Wednesday for the seventh man advantage, and then Friday and Saturday are the games. Of course, the Blue Line Club luncheon is at noon. Coach will be speaking, and Coach Largan will also be there, too. And make sure you email blueline@mtu.edu by noon on Thursday to get reserved for that. And the games are 7:07 Friday night, 6:07 on Saturday night. We'll have a pregame at 6:30 on Friday night. Make sure you tune on to that as you're making your way to the John McGinnis Student Ice Arena. Tickets are available. Call the Central Ticket Office right now. Talk to Erin, and she'll set you up. 906-487-2073. I think we touched on everything we need. Coach, thanks for letting us get this back on our original schedule and keeping it on our original schedule for Monday, even after the long bus trip. And we'll look forward to talking to you this week.
Great. And I know I actually got some sleep on the bus, and you didn't. So right. I'm sure you're getting ready to go home and take a nap.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it. That is the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93. Thanks again for all of your questions. And we'll do it again next week. We'll see you at the games this weekend.